Forward. A lot of people asked me why I was writing a second edition. As you know, I've interviewed over 1,000 women about their daily eating habits. People ask if I really interviewed over 1,000 women, and honestly, it's way over that. I've been doing these interviews for over 20 years. I do about 4 interviews a week, times 52 weeks in a year, times 20 years, and the real total is about 4,160 interviews. I just say over 1,000 to account for the odd weeks when I may not have gotten to do 4 interviews. The majority of my closest friends have come for me randomly going up to them and asking what they ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My friend Jen, whom I adore, I met over 15 years ago when she was an aerobics instructor at a local gym. I went up to her one day after a step aerobics class. Remember when step aerobics was all the rage? Told her how much I enjoyed her class and asked about her food and diet. Then I asked her if she'd text me some of her favorite foods and what she ate. She is so kind and generous, and from that point on became one of my closest friends. I've learned so much from the different people I've interviewed, but I've also built such amazing relationships. The reason I'm writing the second edition is to make clarifications. I summarized what these amazing women told me, but I didn't give details of exactly what they said. I wanted to give you their exact words in the interviews, and I would love for you to actually watch them because it's a magical process to watch thin eaters describe how they eat and actually watch them eat. To watch these full interviews, go to chantelrayway.com/interview-list. Since the launch of the first edition, I've received thousands of letters and emails from people thanking me for writing the book and telling me about the success they've had with intermittent fasting. But one letter in particular really stuck with me. It was from a woman who said, "Thank you so much for writing the book. I've already lost 12 pounds, but I was confused by parts of your book. You talk about not depriving yourself and eating what you want, but then in the Chemical City section, you also talk about really looking at the food you're eating and whether it has chemicals or will be good for you. That seems to contradict the idea of eating what you want and not depriving yourself." After I read that email, I realized that I really need to clarify the balance between eating what you want while still using discernment about which foods are going to make you feel your best. The second edition will clarify the fact that there are two types of people. The first type is very healthy, meaning they don't have many health issues. The second type of people are sick, meaning they have some sort of underlying health issue, such as Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, autoimmune disease, thyroid issues, lupus, food allergies or sensitivities, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, inflammatory bowel disease, and Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Later in the book, I talk about how these two types of people travel in two different lanes. If you're in the healthy lane, you will be able to eat whatever you want, and the only boundaries are the confines of hunger and fullness. However, if you're sick, you travel in a different lane with the same confines, but with an extra dimension or additional bridge to cross when it comes to eating. Crossing that bridge involves discerning ways to eat the foods you crave while not exacerbating your illness. For example, if you want chips, you'll still get to eat chips, but probably organic, gluten-free ones cooked in coconut oil. If you want a cookie, you might be making that cookie with honey and almond flour. If you're sick, you're still not going to deprive yourself of the things you love, but you'll just have to navigate over an extra bridge because of your health issues and food restrictions. I will show you that you can still satisfy your craving because it's not about deprivation, it's about discernment. In this second edition, I'm also committed to being more vulnerable than in the first. About 6 months after the launch of the first book, I gained about 6 to 8 pounds, which doesn't sound like much, but when you write a weight loss book, you feel like all eyes are on you and your appearance all the time. Almost all weight loss books for women are written by someone who is a size 0. I don't ever want to be a size 0. I'm still wearing a size 6. I think we all have our weight or size where we feel our most comfortable. I'd prefer to be a size 4, honestly. That's the size where I feel most comfortable with myself. My husband prefers when I'm between a size 6 or 8 because when I'm thinner, my boobs and butt are the first things to go, and he is a man who loves a big butt. So I tend to hover somewhere between sizes 4 and 6, and we are both happy. One of my favorite interviews, which taught me so much, was with a friend who said yes to being recorded and yes to having her words written, but she wouldn't allow me to use her real name or show a picture of her. She said it was because she didn't want to put it out there that she was some sort of weight loss guru, in case she ever gained weight, because people would judge her for it. Before she said that to me, it had never even occurred to me that I'd be facing those exact same critiques once my book came out. Once she said that to me, I realized this is exactly how I feel. I feel like because I wrote a weight loss book, if I gain even an ounce of weight, I'll be judged for it. That criticism is sometimes hard to bear, but there is not a question in my mind that I'm still glad I wrote the first edition. I've received so much positive feedback from the first book and so much gratitude from the people I've helped that it makes the scrutiny over my weight worth it. I hope this second edition, along with my clarifications, the added full-length interview chapters, and the bonus recipes will have an even bigger impact on others. Note, when I was in college and I was choosing a major, I picked math because I didn't like to read or write. I actually hated reading and writing, so the fact that I wrote a book is very comical. If you had asked me in college if I wanted to write a book, I would have said, I have no desire to do that because I hate reading and writing. But after interviewing thousands of thin women and learning all this information, I knew I needed to put it into a book. Because I hate writing, I literally recorded my voice and had someone else write my words down. But these are 100% my words. Hopefully you can hear my tone and see that I'm talking to you. I made it clear to my ghostwriters that I wanted the book to be grammatically correct, but I also wanted to keep it edgy so it wouldn't lose my tone or voice. All my friends who read my first edition said, "It's funny, this book sounds just like you," which is exactly what I wanted. I hope my voice shines through for you as you're reading it as well.